Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand. Marketing tools that get your products out there, and that's just the beginning. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go. Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Shopify, your all-in-one commerce platform.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at Shopify.
Gonsalves.
Everyone, welcome to the SBS on the Money podcast for this Monday, the 29th of June, 2026, a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.7%. We'll have the details with Kyle Rodder from Capital.com in a few moments, including what to expect on the final day of trade this financial year. But first, the corporate watchdog says superannuation trustees aren't doing enough to protect members from excessive fees and risky investments on their platforms and are calling for them to lift their game. These platforms have experienced extraordinary growth over the past decade, surging from $123 billion in member benefits to almost $400 billion, while the fees they charge have quadrupled. Now, while they can offer more choice and consolidated reporting, for example, the recent collapses of some investment schemes like the Shield Master Fund and First Guardian Master Fund, which were available through some platforms, have thrust them into the spotlight. For more, I spoke with ASIC Commissioner Simone Constant.
Primarily in this report, we looked at superannuation trustees in the platform sector, the very fast-growing platform sector in Australian superannuation. Now, when I say fast-growing, superannuation itself has doubled in the past 10 years, and in that same time, the platform sector has tripled in size. And within that same period, the fees charged and out of that platform sector by and charged to the superannuants have quadrupled. So this is really significant growth. So the message we've got is to superannuation trustees generally, you know, they've got very simple responsibilities, but really important responsibilities. Keep the money of Australians that you hold on trust, keep it safe. Make sure there's value for money in the services that are provided, that they're paid for out of that superannuation, those retirement savings, and make sure your members understand what those services are. And third and final, make sure that the retirement services, the investment services, and the member services at the heart of the whole purpose of super, make sure that those services are being delivered. And as this report shows, in this case, what we've looked at, unfortunately, across the six trustees we looked at, there were failings on all three fronts, but particularly in that keeping Australians' money held on trust for super, keeping it safe, particularly there.
Speaking of those failings, what are some of the concerning examples that you can offer?
What's probably most concerning, Ricardo, is that despite the growth and despite ASIC's ongoing focus on this area and superannuation generally, because, of course, superannuation is so important for all Australians now. Do you know it's the second most, if not the most important asset in the average Australian's life? So despite all our focus, you know, we throw everything we've got at this, making sure we hold trustees to account for what they are Australians. Despite all that focus, and indeed despite doing similar work to what we've released today only 2 years ago, and despite the fact that some failings that are similar to what we call out in this report were exposed as far back as the Royal Commission when we saw those fee for no service scandals, despite all that, we're seeing repeat failings. So in this report, we're seeing failings in some checks, some controls, some trustee responsibilities that are actually the same as what we called out 2 years ago, or in some cases actually worse. In some areas where we called out poorer and better practice last time and said 2 years ago, this is where you need to be, trustees. Even in some of those cases, actually we've seen the behaviour go backwards, the conduct get worse. One simple example is to protect Australians who have their retirement savings on platforms from having those savings eroded by fees that aren't value for money, that are way too big, for example, for the balance that's held. And some balances, like a very low balance, we're talking $10,000, for example, in one of the groups that we saw advised onto a platform. There are some really simple measures trustees can put in place that we think are pretty reasonable to protect those funds against that sort of egregious fees, simple things like fee caps. Now, 2 years ago, we called out to trustees that fee caps are necessary to ensure that excess fees are not being charged, particularly to very low balance members. In this cohort, in the six trustees we looked at this time, So disappointingly, we found that only half of the trustees yet still have fee caps, and that one of those who doesn't have fee caps at the moment is contemplating putting them on, but thinking about that at a number that's north of, bigger than what we said 2 years ago, was actually a pretty high fee cap of $20,000. And if you think about some of these very low balance members having balances as low as $10,000, and you had a fee cap that might be double, triple, or not even in place to protect that and get that erosion of fees into the super savings, you know, these can be really simple steps that can be taken to protect those savings. Well, checking the advice documents on a risk-based or a sampling approach is really important. So trustees can make sure, for a start, that the advice is there that's been paid for by the fees by the member. Something we found that was really concerning is actually across this suite of six trustees, a number of them had some months go by where they performed no checks. And in fact, one trustee, 75% of the time, so three quarters of the time that they performed a check, they found an adverse finding. They found something had gone wrong. And yet they thought it was okay across this 15-month period to only check 21 documents and indeed have some months where they checked none. That is stupefying to us, and we're calling that trustee to account.
How did we get here, and what's your message to trustees?
We got here by trustees not stepping up and into their responsibilities. And yes, there are some trustees who do a good job. In fact, there's some good practice we've called out in the report, but it needs to be consistent and it needs to be comprehensive. Super is too important to Australians. So our primary message is to super trustees. Super trustees of all makes, shapes, kinds, colours, right, all models, keep the Australians' money safe that you hold on trust for them. Make sure there's value for money in the services paid for out of super and that your members want those services, and make sure you're offering those services that are the promise to your customers who are your members. You hold their money on trust. For Australians, our message is pretty simple. Trustees have those important responsibilities to you. When you think about your super, think about it the same way you think about your banking products, for example. You expect from your banks to know where your money is, how it's kept safe, how you can get a check on it, and why the services or products you're receiving, why you're receiving them. You should expect the same thing from your super fund. And if they don't make it simple for you to understand that, simple to make choices and simple to make sure you're on the right type of fund, doing the right things with the money for you, for your needs as a member, then you should think about a different super fund.
That's Simone Constant, the ASIC Commissioner.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, and that's just the beginning. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Shopify, your all-in-one commerce platform.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com.au/listen.
Did you know that your Wi-Fi router could be limiting your internet speeds, especially if it's more than 5 years old? For setup tips on how to get the best out of your NBN connection, visit nbn.com.au/checkyoursetup.
Okay, let's go to the Australian share market now. The S&P ASX 200 up today 0.7%, enjoying a late rally. Tech stocks did best, zero up 4.5%. Healthcare also did well, along with the banks. Defensive utilities fell. For more on the day's market action, including what to expect tomorrow, which is the last trading day of the financial year, I spoke with Kyle Rodder from Capital.com. Kyle, what's driving the markets today and where are we seeing the movements?
A lot of tech, a lot of movement in healthcare, and it does seem to be that we're going to get a bit of a rebound in those sectors on Wall Street. Those have obviously been the parts of the market that have really driven global market sentiment over the last few weeks, really concerns about overvaluation and earnings going forward. So we've had a pretty big bounce back in NASDAQ futures, so effectively the tech exposure in the United States. And we've seen a fairly similar, I guess, thematic move on the ASX 200. So you combine that with the fact that we had, some nervousness about the war going into the weekend, and that has subsided as well. It's been the reason why we've had a little bit of a boost in the market today.
One more trading day until the end of the financial year. What typically happens on that last day? And do you think it'll be any different this time around?
It could be noisy. there is always a degree of noise in the last day of the year. Sometimes it's because of portfolio, rebalancing and investors potentially window dressing. In Australia, there's often tax loss selling as well. And of course, with the CGT changes coming through, there's a question whether people will be sort of preemptively taking advantage of that as well, even if it's only because it's been such a big story, people want to do it now. So that's probably the key takeaway is that, the last couple of days of the year can see the market become a little bit more noise than signal. There's a variety of reasons for that, but you'd expect that we get a maybe a little bit of extra, a bit more of that this year than years gone by.
Oil is obviously being influenced by the movement in the Strait of Hormuz. What I find interesting at the moment, though, is that the petrol price is now way below where it was at the start of the war. In fact, the Australian Institute of Petroleum told me that the unleaded price is now at the lowest it's been since January 2022, right? And sure, the fuel excise discount is playing a part, but there are other forces at play. I mean, tell us about those, what you think they are, what's the message to motorists? Because the discount to the fuel excise that we've seen, that's going to be reduced from Wednesday.
Yeah, and for that reason, we'll probably see oil prices slowly revert over the next couple of months. The two big drivers are obviously what's happened with the underlying crude price, and actually the Brent price is back to where it was before the start of the war, or floating around those levels anyway. And then, clearly the excise has been significant. We're probably seeing prices somewhere between 10 to 20, perhaps a little bit more cents per litre below where they would otherwise be with crude prices at these levels. Everyone's kind of looking at refining margins too, so what we call crack spreads, and they've been fluctuating really significantly because the market has been so majorly disrupted that they've actually been quite high. So refiners are taking a lot of money, but as they've sort of normalized a little bit too, that's putting some downward pressure on those end products that you speak about, like the unleaded fuels and things that basically go into your car. But over the next few months, we'll probably see two countervailing forces. One will be that the underlying crude price, assuming everything goes okay with the war, will feed through to a weaker petrol price. But on the flip side of that, over the next couple of months, there'll be these couple of step changes as those excise cuts are reversed.
And finally, in wrapping up, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Talking to them just about thematics, and the war is one of them as being a source of volatility. The other two things is interest rate risk. And critically, looking for potential turning points in the inflation data in the United States and a peak in where US interest rates may be to get a sense of, where we could be going in terms of global equities. And that's going to inform what naturally happens to the ASX 200 too. And the other part is that we've got earnings season in the United States coming around in a few weeks' time. And with so much focus once again on the tech sector in the United States driving, again, global markets. We want to see whether that, a little bit like last quarter, so these companies are continuing to deliver profitability and that this sort of AI trade, this thematic can continue to push on too. So it's those kind of disparate ideas, and those different themes that I think is really important and will probably be, the big driver of markets in the next few weeks.
Kyle Rotter there from capital.com, and he wraps up the podcast for this Monday. Give it a like, a review, and subscribe if you enjoy it. Don't forget to watch On the Money during the weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. That's at 6:30. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close, and I'll catch you there.
Hi, it's Noor Haider, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we bring you a single story, going beyond the headlines and taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Combining personal storytelling with analysis, we take you inside the stories that matter most. For fearless, independent reporting that holds power to account, listen to Full Story from The Guardian, wherever you get your podcasts.